One. It's good to be back in the Lord's house. I know that your flesh is probably weary and tired, but I hope that your spirits are still willing. Revival week was physically and emotionally, just to be honest, exhausting for me, but spiritually it was very renewing, and I am thankful for the time. It's just good to get under God's word every night. It's good. I mean, I hope you study your Bible every day. I hope you read it every morning. I hope you study it throughout the day and read it at night. But it's a special thing to come and be under the preaching of the Word of God every night. But it was a great week. I know many of you are very tired and got a lot of stuff going on. But we want to continue in our study of the Gospels. And we finished last week the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it so commonly. But remembering that this was no ordinary sermon. This was the Lord Jesus Christ himself giving great teaching and instruction to his church and his disciples, and tremendous truths that we learned there. And so we come now to Mark chapter 1. This evening our text will be Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. If you're able, let's stand as we read the Word of God this evening. We're going to learn about another miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he cast out an unclean spirit at Capernaum. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And we'll stop right there tonight and pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would please bless your word tonight. Help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to. Convict hearts, Lord. If there's a soul here tonight who has never repented of their sin and trusted in Christ alone for their salvation, I pray tonight be the night they would repent and believe and be saved. And for all who are saved, Lord, help each one of us to be obedient to your word, the conviction of your Holy Spirit. And please bless tonight. Help me from nothing without you. May your will be done in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This evening, as we look at this event that happened at the synagogue of Capernaum, we'll learn about his astonishing authority. We'll learn about his holy identity and his unlimited ability. But notice first his astonishing authority, which we saw this very same thing at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And his very disciples were amazed. They were astonished, exceedingly amazed at the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And would you notice it here? They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue. Now the synagogue was the local Jewish place of worship. It was a place that they would gather together for the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. And for that day and time, it was the closest thing that we look back to under the Jewish economy, the Jewish way of worship, to what we have as a church today. It was a gathering of Jewish believers, Jewish followers of the practices of Judaism, who would get together every week to worship the Lord, to have the reading of the Scriptures and the proclaiming and expounding of the Scriptures to the people. And when it was time, and the Sabbath day came along at Capernaum, the Lord made his way straightway or immediately to the synagogue where the Word of God would be presented. By the way, that's a good example for us to follow, isn't it? Amen. We don't have synagogues today. Jesus Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week trumped the seventh day Sabbath. Amen. Now we have a first day Sabbath, a day of rest, a day to set aside for the worship of the Lord. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is greater than the creation of the whole universe. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so we gather on the first day of the week. And by the way, when it's our day of worship, you ought to straightway, you ought to immediately get up and be in your place in God's house. Amen. So I'm going to find a way to preach that every time. You just count on it. I didn't have to dig too much to find it right there, did I? It's right there. Jesus made his way to where the Word of God would be presented. And he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And I just want to share with you very quickly the same thing we talked about last week, the fact that he taught as one that had authority, they were astonished. It means exceedingly amazed. It was jaw-dropping for them to listen to Jesus teach, because the way he taught was none like anything they had ever heard in their lives. When he taught with authority. And why would he? Because Jesus has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. Yeah, he can preach with authority because he has all authority. And by the way, he has entrusted his churches with his truth today. And the man of God in God's house with the word of God can stand and preach with authority, thus saith the Lord, because he has transferred his authority to his churches. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He had authority. They were astonished at his authority. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I told you last week, I'm going to remind you, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7, 8, and 9, the Bible, the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says to them, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Well, listen, the scribes couldn't preach or teach with authority because they had no authority. What they taught was their own doctrines. They taught was their own traditions. What they taught wasn't the Word of God. It wasn't the Scriptures. There's no authority without the Word of God. And so when we step outside of the Bible, we're not going to have any authority either. But you see his astonishing authority. By the way, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Teaching, right? Sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm not really big on doctrine. I don't think doctrine's all that important. I've heard people talk about their church, well, our church really isn't into all that doctrine. That's a silly statement. It means that you're not into teaching. And if your church isn't into the teaching of the Word of God, then what's the point? So we ought to all be all about doctrine, but not the traditions of men, but the Word of God. Doctrine that matters. His astonishing authority. Notice his holy identity. He taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. Verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." Now listen, in the Jewish way of worship in those days, the temple was in Jerusalem, but in all the other cities around Israel and Judah, there were places of worship, the synagogue in those towns, so they could get together every week to worship God. And in their place of worship, there was somebody there with an unclean spirit. You know what that means? It means somebody in their synagogue was demon-possessed. That means that Satan himself had an influence in that place of worship. Can you believe that? Now, you ought to believe it because it's right there in your Bible. There was one in their synagogue. I don't know, we don't get a lot of detail here, but I get the idea that this was a common thing, that he was there. He was there regularly. He was there as a part of their group. And can I just tell you today that it's entirely possible for Satan to have an influence in his church today? Listen, Jesus Christ himself among his first group that he called out, just 12 men. Just 12. And yet one was the devil. I'm not trying to judge, just what Jesus said. Listen, we need to understand something today. That just because people go around saying the right thing, and seem to be doing the right thing and look the right way, it doesn't mean anything. What matters is Christ in our hearts. Throughout the Scriptures, he warns that we would be on guard against false teachers. And we should be yet still today. Amen. Some of you look like you're mad at me. I'm not sitting up here tonight trying to figure out who has a devil. I'm not even going to stand up here and say I got an idea. But I'm going to tell you this. We should be on guard. Amen. Brother Ben preached Friday night. We have an adversary. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, make no mistake about it. The devil wants to tear apart your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to rip this church into pieces. And he's not going to do that from outside. He's going to do it from inside. Even Peter, who we know was a saved man, the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I mean, just a couple of verses after he told him, "Simon, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven," he said, "listen, you figured out who I am. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." And just a couple of verses later, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I mean, listen, you need to wake up and understand that you and I can be used of the devil if we're not real careful. Now, see, I say that, and some of you, amen, but you're thinking of somebody else. Thinking, yeah, I know somebody here could be used of the devil. But I didn't say somebody else. I said you and I. I can be used of the devil if I'm not real careful. And so can you. Now, listen, I'm not trying to tell you you're demon-possessed. If you're saved, you can't be possessed of the devil. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. There's no room for any devils. But we can still fall under his influence. And we can still act in the flesh rather than walk in the Spirit. And we can be used of the devil to accomplish his work in tearing apart the Lord's church. What I'm trying to tell you, saved people still sin. So be careful. All right, that was all for free. That was a little side trip for you. You're welcome. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, verse 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." So we see not only Jesus' astonishing authority, but would you notice his holy identity? And would you find it amazing that the one who gives his holy identity is the devil? Now notice that he says, "Let us alone." It's plural. I mean, other times when Jesus had to deal with demon-possessed people, there were multiple devils inside of those people. And what a horrible thought. We learn in another place where the Lord warns, the Word of God warns, that somebody might be able to clean up their life and try to get a devil out of their life on their own and try to straighten up their life on their own. But if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're not indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God through repentance and faith in Christ alone, that the devils will come back with more devils, and the end of that man will be worse than he was in the beginning. You know what that is? You're trying to clean your own life up without Christ. And you're going to end up in a far worse place. You see, the only answer is Jesus Christ, but there were multiple devils. But he gives the holy identity with Jesus. He says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. We often think of this verse when we're thinking about somebody wanting to get married and one's saved and the other's unsaved. But listen, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" And certainly that's true for marriage or any other union that a saved person might have with an unsaved. But here, the devil understands he doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. He's got no part with Jesus. He's got no mixture with Jesus. He's got no way to be joined together with Jesus. He is separate from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil understands that. The demons understand that. They understand that when Satan rebelled against God, when Lucifer rebelled against God, these fallen angels who are demons cast their lot with the devil, and they have no part with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're separate. And see, I want you to understand something today. We ought to understand and pay heed to the Word of God, where it tells us that we can't serve God and mammon. If you want to live for the world, you can't live for God. There's separation there. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you'll cling to the one and despise the other. And this devil understood something. Jesus Christ is holy, and I don't have any part with him. That's who he is. He's the one that the devil and his angels have no part with. And then he says, "Thou Jesus of Nazareth." Now, I'm going to throw a bunch of scriptures at you, so if you're taking notes, you might write these down tonight. Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23, he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, Jesus was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. Nazirite took a vow and he wouldn't cut his hair, and he did all kinds of things like that. And we see a lot of pictures depicting Jesus with long hair because they think he was a Nazirite. He wasn't a Nazirite, he was a Nazarene, because he would live in Nazareth. And he was identified as Jesus of Nazareth. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, blind Bartimaeus, you remember him? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." When people talked about Jesus and they identified him as Jesus of Nazareth, they understood who it was because they had heard about the great miracles and the things that he had done. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 through 11, Matthew 21, 9. "And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" I mean, when he came in Jerusalem, the city was in an uproar. People were shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And everybody's going, "What's going on around here? Who is this man?" And they and the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Jesus, listen, people knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 65 through 67, you remember how Peter followed Jesus afar off after he was taken captive. You remember how they were in there interrogating Jesus and beating Jesus. Peter was outside warming himself, and there was a maid that looked on him and said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." This title, Jesus of Nazareth, it identified him. People knew who he was. His fame had spread abroad throughout the regions. In John 19 and 19, when Pilate wrote a title, a sign to put on the cross, he said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Mark chapter 16. In verses 2 through 6, it says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." This is Jesus of Nazareth, the one who gave sight to the blind man, the one who the multitudes cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," the one who the crowd cried out, then later, "Crucify him," the one who hung on the cross and the sign above his head, "Jesus of Nazareth," the one who rose from the grave, "Jesus of Nazareth," the one who Peter preached to the multitudes, saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, you slew and hanged on a tree," the one who Peter and John, when they came into the temple, the man sitting there begging, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This same one that Saul met on the road to Damascus, and a bright light came upon him, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." You see, we think about Jesus the Christ, and all throughout Scripture, he is lauded as Jesus of Nazareth. And even this demon, when he sees Jesus, he says, "I know who you are. I know who you are. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth?" Listen, Jesus is separate. He's holy. He is Jesus of Nazareth, that prophet of Galilee, the one who worked all of those miracles, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who rose again, the one in whose name we have all power and authority to do his work on the earth. It's Jesus of Nazareth. I got to tell you, friends, I hadn't really thought about that title much before preparing for this message, and it thrills my heart to think about all the times that title is used of the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. And then he says, "Art thou come to destroy us? Art thou come to destroy us?" When Jude, in verse 6, the Bible says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day." You see, the devils know something. They know that Jesus has all authority. They know that there's a day of judgment appointed unto them. He knew that one day Jesus would destroy him. One day Jesus would judge him. And yet he said, are you come to destroy us? Why are you here? We don't have anything to do with you. We know who you are. I am amazed at the devils who know the truth of the judgment to come, and yet they still chose to side with the devil. I am equally amazed at people today who hear the gospel, who at least with their mind will declare, I understand the judgment and the wrath of God that I face, but I refuse to turn from my sin and trust in Jesus. It's amazing to me. It's terrifying to me. But this is the devil. Are you come to destroy us? And then he says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. He is holy God. You ought not often believe what the devil has to say. But what this devil had to say about Jesus, he's got it exactly right. You see, when you look in your Bible and you see the word Holy Spirit, that title for the Spirit of God, you see those two things put together, just the two words, Holy and Spirit, put together, it's his title. Well, there's only two places that I can find in my Bible where Holy God are put together in the whole New Testament. And it's right here, and again, in the same account in Luke chapter 4, verse 34, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And it's just that same phrase. It's just holy and God put together. Just like holy and spirit are put together for the Spirit. Listen, friends, make no mistake about it. Jesus declared plainly that he was God. The Word of God over and over declares plainly that he is God. But listen, even the devils themselves know that Jesus is God. Amen. There are people even today who will deny that Jesus Christ is God. They say, well, you never said that. They'll say, oh, well, he never claimed that. And you say, well, listen, that's why the Pharisees killed him. Because as soon as he said, I am, they said, they picked up stones to cast at him because he claimed to be God. And they said, well, they just misunderstood what he meant. They misunderstood when he said, I am God. They thought he meant that he was saying he was God. But if you can't believe anybody else, I guess you could believe the devils because even they understand it. Jesus Christ is holy God. So you see his astonishing authority, his holy identity. And lastly, this evening, notice his unlimited ability. In verse 24, again, he said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at the man who is possessed of these devils, and he says to the devils, hush up and get out of there. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Hey, listen, I'll just go ahead and tell you guys, I don't think there's any reason that I know of scripturally. Somebody can straighten me out later. I don't know of any reason biblically why people aren't demon-possessed today. I think it still happens today. I think that's still a possibility in our world today. I haven't ever come across that. Although, if I'm honest, there have been a couple of times I thought my kids might have been. And I just honestly don't know what I'd do in a situation where something like that was going on. But I know this. There is nothing in me that could compel a demon to do anything. I have no authority over the demons. And listen, I know some of you watch some of those stupid shows on the movies. I can promise you one thing. It's not going to go down like Hollywood portrays it. Amen? I know some of you try to let Hollywood, you know, be the guide for your life. And some of you think if you just do what they did in the Disney movie, it'll all work out. You go ahead and help. Go ahead and try to help you with that. You ought to follow the Word of God, not Disney. Amen. There's no power in man to command the spirits. There's no incantation, no ritual, no anything you're going to do, no holy artifact that you're going to wield in your hand. Take some crucifix and some holy water and all that nonsense. It's ridiculous. Listen, the only time anybody had the authority to tell the demons what to do is when Jesus gave them the authority to do so. He has the authority. And when this guy kept trying to say who Jesus was, Jesus wanted him to hush up. It wasn't his time yet. It wasn't time for him to be revealed. It wasn't time for all of that to happen. It wasn't the right time. So Jesus told him to hush up and get out of there. And the man, the unclean spirit, it says he had torn him. Now, if you study this out in the account in Luke, chapter 4, verse 35 says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And then you read the account of Mark chapter 1, you say, well, it says it tore him. Well, that word tore, it doesn't mean literally physically. It's the idea of convulsions. It's a spasm, if you will. What we would call probably like a seizure. It didn't hurt him, but the man seized, he convulsed, as the spirit had no choice but to do what Jesus said. And it came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves. Now, you get the picture. There's a group of people, probably not too much unlike what we have here. They probably didn't have pews and air conditioning, but, you know, you get the idea. And as they were sitting there watching this spectacle, Jesus gets done teaching. Everybody's amazed. So the devil gets up to try to interrupt everything. And he starts shouting out above the crowd, I know who you are. And Jesus says, hush up and get out of it. Hold thy peace and get out of it. And the man seizes. He falls on the ground and the demon departs. The man gets up in his right mind. And everybody's amazed. And you can just imagine the crowd. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at each other going, what in the world has just happened? You've seen stuff like that before, right? When everybody doesn't even know what to think and they're just looking at each other and talking amongst themselves going, what in the world just happened? Did you see that? They were amazed. They were astonished. In so much that they questioned among themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And look at verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And everybody knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. This evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while they're coming, I want you to look at verse 28. Immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. When the people saw what authority Jesus Christ had, the way that he taught, and how he could command even the devils, they were so astonished, so exceedingly amazed, that they went everywhere and they told everybody about this man named Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I got a question for you. Are you amazed at the authority of Jesus Christ? I was on my way to hell. And I couldn't tell you tonight the words I prayed the night I got saved, but I know this. For the very first time in my life, I trusted in Christ alone. I asked Him to forgive me. I asked Him to be my Savior. And I want to tell you, in an instant, the Lord Jesus Christ, He took me from being dead in my trespasses and sin, and He gave me everlasting life. That's amazing to me. It's amazing that He can take a sinner like me, so undeserving, so unworthy, and give me life everlasting. Listen, he has the authority. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Listen, he has the right and the authority, and he is just in forgiving our sins because he paid for them with his own blood. I am amazed that he can just wash away all our sin just like that in an instant. Are you amazed that he saved you? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I just think tonight, if you really are amazed, and I'm really amazed, that we want the fame of Jesus to spread throughout our community. He said, well, most of the people around here, they go to church anyway. Yeah, but they don't know the truth about Jesus. They may have heard about him, but friend, if they've never heard the true gospel, there's no way for them to know him the way that you know him. And don't you think we ought to go and let his fame spread throughout this land? Let's stand together.